This weekend, it's Long Beach and Doctor Who. Next week, it's Emerald City. And sadly, we have to say goodbye to Richard Hatch. All that and more on this week's Kongai Comic-Con Prep Show.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's The Con Guy Comic-Con Prep Show.
I just want to sit and bask in the music for a second. Remember that? Me and Tom are old enough to remember the original Battlestar Galactica, which was led by Richard Hatch, playing Captain Apollo on the original show. And we will talk about Richard Hatch a little bit later. Very sadly, he did pass this past week. So that was a sad thing that happened. My name is Jim Fry. I'm the managing editor for theconguy.com, the website, theconguy.com. We cover all your Comic Cons, fan conventions, and hopefully all of our headsets are on right now. Can we hear you? Can we? Okay. We can't hear Cheeseman on the couch right now. Anyway, so this is...
Okay, the doctor read his Sonic. He's fixing it.
Yeah. Anyway, Jim Fry, Con Guy Jim. You can find me at Con Guy Jim. All right.
Who else we got here?
That sounds like Cotton Eye Joe. Kind of. A little bit.
Let's go.
Where did you come Derek from? Derek Sams, you can find me at Con Guy Derek.
Thomas Parham, you can find me at Tom Dave L-A. Thomdavela.
I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at my name. Like to keep it very simple.
Go for it.
My name is Ben Cleaver, but it's spelled weird. At B-E-N-K-L-I-E-W-E-R.
It's not weird. It's German.
It's very German.
It's okay to say that German is weird, I think. It's
weird when looking at it from English, but English is weird when you look at it from German.
That's true. Let's just move on. English is weird when you look at it from any other language.
Pretty much.
She's been on the couch. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke or on The Con Guy, and I'm the social media director.
Welcome, everybody. We are the Con Guy Comic Con Prep Show. Please subscribe here on YouTube or on iTunes. Like we say every week, we never know when we'll be on, but it's just about every couple of weeks or so whenever we have some good conventions to cover. We have some really big ones coming up, or some good ones. One's kind of small, one's kind of big, and one's kind of really, really small that you're going to tell us about tonight.
Teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny. By the way, Ben and Emma have never met before.
What?
So
until
tonight.
Already discovered
in this
that
universe.
We know
it's
all the same
night.
People.
Yeah.
So.
Just in this universe, exactly. But you have in another universe.
Yeah. They met 5 minutes ago. They know each other better than I know both of them right now. it's crazy. So we are going to... We do have a packed show tonight. We hope everybody is planning on heading down to Long Beach Comic Con with us or up
Expo.
To...
Expo.
Expo. Yeah.
Long Beach Comic Con.
Comic Con is in the fall. Expo is in the spring. That's right. I will be there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
It's like the clocks. It's a spring Expo... Fall Con. That's how you remember. Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and start off right up at the top with the bulletin board. Derek, if you can kind of remind everybody of some of these events that are coming up.
All right. So as we mentioned just really quickly, Gallifrey, or is it actually called Gallifrey 1?
Gallifrey 1.
Yeah. Excuse me. I mean, Gallifrey is the planet. We've got to explain. All right. Gallifrey 1, the Doctor Who convention, is where's the actual location for that?
It's at the LAX Marriott Hotel.
LAX Marriott. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be telling us
in their bar.
That's this weekend, but from what I understand, that's sold out now.
Sold out, and it started today.
Yeah, it's today.
It sells out in the first day the tickets go.
And that's a smaller convention, so it's a little harder to keep up with. When they're coming, you don't hear about it everywhere. But, I mean, if you love Doctor Who, that's a good place to be. So Wizard World Portland is also this weekend, February 17th and 18th.
I was just going to say...
Go ahead.
I know. I was like, I'm like really awkwardly trying to...
I heard you take a breath and
no,
I was
just
like,
with
oh,
Gallifrey, No, but with Gallifrey, it's like the people who go... Like, the people who attend Gallifrey, as you're saying, it's a very... Small convention, they're very particular about, like, we're not going to expand from this space, but it's pretty much always, like, Valentine's Day weekend or thereabouts.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Yeah. And it's probably too soon for me to take my wife, because I, like, am just getting her caught up on Doctor Who, and
she just
found out who River Song was. I mean,
Hey, who turned out the lights?
I know, right? Yeah. Anyway.
What a great
I'm
going to
continue
Valentine's.
With what you were actually
yes,
talking
I'll
about.
I'll get her there in time for next Valentine's Day.
Perfect.
Do people still go to Wizard Worlds?
Well, some people do.
Yeah.
Come on, Tom. You're alienating some of our listeners. Okay.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Wizard World Portland is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, February 17th and 18th. Long Beach Comic Expo is also this weekend, February. This says 18th and 19th, but is that supposed to say 17th
and
18th?
No, actually, it's 18th and 19th. The 17th is they're just having the CCC, Comic Creators Conference. Which
say that five times fast.
Okay.
C3.
Okay,
my bad. C-cubed.
All right, because 18th to 19th, yeah. So okay. This weekend, 18th to 19th, that's Saturday and Sunday, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I was saying the date's wrong. And then Emerald City, March 3rd through 5th, mm-hmm. which we got some more information about that later. Salt Lake Comic Fan X is March 17th and 18th. Greenville, South Carolina Comic Con, March 25th and 26th.
Which my niece will be covering for us, Reagan. Can't wait to hear your report.
Thank you, Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Stay away from the Ouija boards. WonderCon.
Get it.
Never mind. Okay.
She has never seen that movie.
Okay, no. Good for her.
She doesn't know she's named after that.
Well, good. All right.
Thanks WonderCon. For bursting that bubble.
WonderCon, March 31st through April 2nd. And that's the last one we have on our list. Of course, there are more coming.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. Yeah, we are just at the beginning of Comic-Con season. And we were just talking about how it's starting up and starting up strong. And mm-hmm. from here through probably Labor Day, it's just... Then it slows down just a fraction. Like, I don't know. What is the slow time during the year? They have them all the way up through December now, right?
I don't think there is a slow time anymore. I think it's very much like Universal Studios has become now that the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is open. There is no off-season anymore.
Yeah, really.
Well, I do have a question, though, because on the last show, we were talking about the Amazing Cons.
Yes.
And this kind of segues into that, how there's not really a slow season, but mm-hmm. is there an oversaturation point? And we will eventually talk about that. We don't have all the information. But some people were saying there might have been an oversaturation. I know that some of the larger cons, like Reed Pop, has just purchased one of the big ones.
Another one.
Yeah, because they've got a stake in a lot of shows at this point.
They bought Emerald City. They bought New York Comic Con. They started C3, real C3.
The real C3. And their Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, Celebration.
Yeah.
They've just been managing
And I think C2E2 also. I know they have a hand in. Yeah, C2E2.
Yeah. So the question is, the Amazing Cons, we heard that they kind of... canceled a couple of their events. And can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was not a decision that they came to lightly. Certainly they had been planning on having events in both Phoenix and in Houston this year. And basically I think it was just kind of decided that, you know, the markets where the show was being the most successful were in Vegas.
Of course.
And in Hawaii. And I think some of the reason is for that is obviously, like, Hawaii is an island. so when there's an event happening in Honolulu, basically everyone in town comes. Because the thing about being on an island is, like, the people there are super aware that they're super isolated and they're very... And, I mean, again, this is me just interpreting, but, like, I always felt with the Hawaii audiences that they were very, very grateful to have, like... people coming out to see them, and it's just wonderful. The Hawaii community is amazing, and you know, all the comic creators in Hawaii, they have a great scene there, and they've got this whole series of, like, Pineapple Man comics, and it's a wonderful, wonderful community.
Cool.
And then I think with Las Vegas, it's like, again, it weirdly enough, Vegas, other than, like, some very specific, you know, obviously, like, Star Trek Las Vegas, and with, you know, there's a couple of big anime conventions in Vegas, they don't necessarily have a really big, like, comic creator-focused convention like Amazing, and I think that's why they've been so successful in the Las Vegas market. And again, it's a really interesting phenomenon of this group of people that's in this town that's super oversaturated mm-hmm. with means of entertainment, and yet this is something that's kind of unique.
Yeah.
So,
because on Derek's bachelor party, we actually found a Comic Con. I forgot, it was the All American Comic Con of Las Vegas. It was kind of tiny, mm-hmm. kind of small, kind of fun. We were done about.
It was only the second year they'd had it.
Yeah.
Too.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun, but I have a feeling that the Amazing Con was probably a different experience altogether. I'm not sure. I haven't been to those yet.
Yeah.
But it just felt kind of cool. Like, we're in the middle of crazy Vegas, and we drive down the road into...
Yeah.
It felt like we would never stop driving to get to this place. And Derek's like, where are we going? Yeah. This doesn't feel like a bachelor
party. Are we there yet?
Yeah. Well, and
plenty
I think...
of parking, which was awesome.
That's true. That was nice.
Yes.
Free
and
parking?
The parking attendants were really
Vegas.
Friendly, too.
I think it was free, wasn't it?
No, I paid money.
It was, but it wasn't... It was cheap.
No.
It used to be, like, free parking everywhere in Vegas, and slowly but surely that's starting to go away.
MGM has all their resorts now. You got to pay to park.
Oh, shit. Well, I was just going to say, to take off what you were saying, is it getting oversaturated, or was it...
yes.
I think you're seeing a little column A and a little column B, because I know, for example, last year, my girlfriend and I suffered from con burnout. We were just... we went to a bunch of them, and I was... You know, because I was either one of my buddies who I do cosplay photo shoots with, wanted to do a photo shoot at this con with these five photographers, or, you know, we wanted to go to this one to see this person. And in a place like Southern California, they're just starting to get stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. Because
it's becoming so much a part of the zeitgeist that people are like, let's do one.
Yeah, I definitely was suffering from con burnout last year big time. Like, I remember at L.A. Comic-Con talking with my friend Livio Romandelli, who is a comic artist. He draws, like, the Transformers Combiner Wars comics and things like that. And, like, he and I were talking about it, and I was like, how many more shows do you have this year? And he was like, oh, let me see. Like,
and that was the end of October, too.
Yeah. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm only going to, like, two or three more, and then I'm done for the year. He's like, yeah.
In late October.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, sorry to cut you off, but what you were saying about Hawaii is then you have these more rural parts of the country where the area I grew up in, rural Kansas, there's a town called Hutchinson, and they started a few years ago the Smallville Comic-Con. It's a town of like 30,000 people. They started Smallville Comic-Con, and I think they got like Billy Dee Williams to come out or something. Right. And it's like they started their thing, and it's getting, and that's a place where the people in that area can go because they don't have anything else. It's an 8-hour drive to Denver.
Yeah.
You know, or St. Louis or wherever else you want to go.
Well, like the Greenville, South Carolina Comic-Con, Greenville is a very small market, but it was in the great big convention center in downtown Greenville, which is a pretty large, probably like 30,000 or what capacity, it sold out.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That's fantastic.
Nerd Nation.
Nerd Nation. I call it Geek Ascendant, but this is what I think possibly is going to happen. And Gallifrey is probably showing, is one of the examples of this, but I think it's going to start segmenting a little bit.
Mm.
Because, you know, Comic-Cons are kind of, they were niche unto themselves, but now they're kind of general. The mass market.
Yeah. And also now I think that when you hear the name Comic-Con, what you come to expect is this sort of all-encompassing thing. Like, if you were to show up to something that had the name Comic-Con anywhere in it, in its event title, and you showed up and it was really just comics, people would be like, well, what is this?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Which is a shame.
A Comic-Con is no longer a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Well, like, Yeah. Kevin Smith made a comment years ago. He was at San Diego, and he stopped a guy and said, hey, what books do you read? And the guy just stared at him. What do you mean, what books do I read?
Well,
like, sigh.
But we all love that, though. We all love that. But I like in the magazine world over the years, all the mass market general magazines have kind of given way to like the really small niche magazines. Like, I remember I used to work for this magazine company, and one of their magazines, I mean, they had like 200. One of them was Hay and Forage Feeder. It was a magazine just for farmers in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It was for feeding animals on farms. And they probably had 30,000 people subscribing to that magazine. But that just goes to show, like, if you go to Barnes & Noble and you look at the magazine rack, it's just very, very specialized. Like, Gallifrey. Gallifrey is a very specialized thing for a single interest. Anime conventions. Bolt Transformers, they're going to have their own convention one of the, well, maybe not.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, see? I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. That's fantastic. Well, Emma, we have some questions for you. Everybody,
sure.
We want to get to know Emma Fyfe a little bit better, and we actually featured your Voltron After Buzz
show. Yes, I know. You told me. Thanks for showcasing that.
We just want to find out a little bit more. What are the other shows that you are currently involved with?
That I'm currently doing at After Buzz. Well, obviously, the Voltron After Show, which there's a lovely photo of with myself and Mark Donica, who is engineering for us right now there in the front. He has very fantastic selfie skills. Along with Alexis, Megan, Katie, and our wonderful guest that week, Josh Keaton, who is the voice of Shiro on the Netflix series Voltron.
He's the voice of Green Lantern Animated.
Yeah!
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Josh is awesome. He's lovely. He's a dad. He's just a great person. God, what else am I doing right now? I am on the after show for Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, you gave a great panel at LA Comic Con.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, actually, Darren DePaul, who was on that panel with us, he and I have been doing a show over at Hyper RPG, which is a... it's a Twitch channel that is focused completely, for the most part, on tabletop RPGs. It was started... by Zach Eubank, who started the Twitch channel over at Geek and Sundry. So basically, we play a Star Wars RPG every week based on the Fantasy Flight's Edge of the Empire system. It's called Pencils and Parsecs. It is just unbelievably fun. It's like the coolest thing I'm doing right now. That's is like, go play tabletop RPGs on the internet for like 2 to 3 hours every Friday
great.
Night.
That's pretty great.
And then, yeah, in terms of after shows right now, I feel like a lot of my stuff is kind of winding down or coming back in the case of Star Wars Rebels. But I recently also wrapped up doing an after show for Yuri on Ice, which won the Anime of the Ward a year in Crunchyroll's first annual Anime Awards.
What was that?
Yuri on Ice. It's about men's figure skating.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's about so
of course.
Much, it's about so much more than
there's
men's
nothing
skating.
To laugh about,
exactly.
Jim.
Thank
it's
you.
Beautiful.
Thank
I was
you,
on the after
Mark.
Show with her.
Yeah, and actually, that was a really, really cool phenomenon. And Mark and I talked about it on our after show as well, where that basically came about because there was already a Yuri on Ice sort of fan niche within the AfterBuzz community. And so I had recommended the show to Alexis Torres, who was one of the other hosts on the show with us. And then, like, Mark, Alexis, and I were, like, tweeting about Yuri on Ice, and Mark was like, and fans were interacting with us, and they're like, you guys should do a Yuri on Ice after show. And Mark was like, I know this great girl, Stacey Shuttleworth. Like, she could be our fourth host. And so we kind of just did it because there was fan demand for it, which is the thing that's so great about internet content, and it's the direction that a lot of, you know, even more like produced television shows and things are going with, you know, the Netflix and Hulu kind of mm-hmm. stuff, and that you're kind of breaking down that gap between creator and consumer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously with TV shows, they demand a certain amount of viewership, and you just don't encounter the same kind of thing when it's like a direct to Netflix or Hulu kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat. I'm also doing an after show for Bob's Burgers right now.
That's awesome.
Which
nice.
Is like,
that's one of your favorites, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I basically just talk about cartoons
wait,
all the time.
I've noticed that AfterBuzz does not have a Rick and Morty after show.
We do not, no.
We need to start something.
Because AfterBuzz is coming.
Jim.
Yes?
Jim, we're working on it.
Can I be on it, please?
Let's talk after the show.
Okay.
Is that the Lord?
What's the...
Yes.
That's Mark Donica. He's
either that or we're all
our
having
engineer.
The same hallucination. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, we've been having a really great time with the Voltron after show this season.
It was a great show. I saw it this
week. Oh, yeah. No, it's a great, and it's a wonderful show, DreamWorks Animation. It's the same animation studio that did Avatar and Legend of Korra, so it's like that same sort of animation style that lives kind of somewhere between you know, Western animation and anime, but it is, it's done in the style of Western animation where mm-hmm. basically they record with a cast read and then it's animated to like whatever they said rather than, you know, doing ADR to kind of dub over other dialogue. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's been super fun and we've gotten great guests in this season. So
that's pretty cool. Does anyone have any questions? Come on, this is the time. Let's find out about Emma. Oh, come on.
I didn't know I was supposed to interview her.
Who was your first doctor?
My first doctor? Oh, Tom Baker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my dad's from the UK. So I started watching Doctor Who when I was really, really little.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
really
yeah?
Little. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite fandom? What's one of your favorite fandoms?
I mean, the fandom that's kind
of... Yeah, don't ask her to pick just one.
Yeah, just one is too hard. Yeah. But the fandom that's really stuck with me throughout my entire life and that kind of launched my career as a host is Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon.
Basically, for anybody who's not familiar with Sailor Moon, it's one of the most famous and popular Japanese anime/manga series ever. It's created by Naoko Takeuchi. It is about a team of girls who find out that they are the reincarnations of magical space princesses, and they save the world.
Thanks.
Many times.
Well, that.
Wait, what was your first convention?
My first convention.
What's the one that started it for
what
you?
What started it for you?
You
what
know,
got
the,
you into all
in
of
the movie Sideways, they ask, what's the wine that started it for you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. For all that I was super aware of the convention scene from a pretty young age, I didn't actually start going to conventions until I lived in L.A. I mean, because, you know, when I was little, I was a theater kid, and so everything I was doing, all my money and stuff was being put into like focusing on like theater productions and voice lessons, and I went through a horseback riding phase for a long time. I rode horses for a long time. I don't know why I called it a phase. It was like from 5 to 16, so that's a little more than a phase.
Right after ice skating.
Right after ice skating. I did ice skate, but not ever like with the intent of
going. Did you
ever
try to combine the two?
Horseback riding and ice skating? I did not.
Horse skating.
So I think that the first convention I ever actually went to was like WonderCon the first year I lived out in L.A., so like 2011-ish. So I've actually not been going to conventions for all that long.
Yeah. My first one was in L.A. San Diego Comic-Con was my very first one way back in 2000.
Yeah.
In L.A.?
Five. Well, from L.A.
Yeah.
When you were living in L.A., right? Okay.
Southern California.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that is awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're so glad to have you here on the show because you just add so much. And your knowledge is just like
Emma knows every fandom you could think of.
We're gonna start a new game. It's called Stump Emma. We will see if we can stump Emma. I think that would be great. Well,
just ask her. I know how to stump her. Emma, what is your number one favorite TV show, and you can only choose one?
Ooh.
Stumped.
That's true.
Stumping.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you very much. Hey, we're going to go ahead and jump into Gallifrey. Now we have Ben. Ben is here with us this week, and if Ben, you can tell us. Did you just come there tonight?
I did just come from there tonight. I was there earlier.
So it's not still time locked.
It is not time locked right now. No, they're two parts of time and space that should never touch. Blah blah blah. Anyway, so we're good.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
And here you are.
Time is a flat circle.
So it starts today, February, what is today, 17th?
Yeah, 16th. Today, it's Christopher Eccleston's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Christopher Eccleston, the man who will refuse to come back to Doctor Who. Heartbreaking.
I know, it really is.
How long's the convention for?
It goes through Sunday. Tonight was more of a preview night. They don't, like, the convention floor isn't actually open, but they have an ice cream social. You can come and register for your badges. Ooh. The Gallifrey
free
convention.
Doctor Who and ice cream.
Doctor Who and ice cream. I don't know if it's free or not because I didn't get any.
Doubt it.
Can I jump in just for a second?
Sure.
LA's opening an ice cream museum.
Oh,
just read that today. An ice cream museum.
Like, go sample hundreds of years old ice cream.
The ramen museum where you can eat lots of different kinds of ramen in Japan.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So tell us about Gallifrey.
Gallifrey's great.
Or what's the name of it?
It's called Gallifrey 1.
Okay.
This is their 28th year. So the theme is 28 years later. And so they're... I don't know if they actually do anything with the theme or it's just like the advertising has like a zombie on the thing. But it's fun.
Zombie Time Lords.
Now I get it.
Yeah, it took me a minute too.
Zombie Time Lords. But they regenerate. I don't know. Anyway, I just lost the buzz that was in my headphones.
That's called the air conditioning.
It's the AC.
You're going to start sweating profusely in just a minute.
Oh, good. I'm going to look great on camera.
So tell us a little bit about how this compares. What kind of convention is it?
It's a very small convention. Mm-hmm. It's in the ballrooms at the Marriott LAX, and it's more of an intimate convention because the exhibit hall is obviously much, much smaller. Mm-hmm. They don't sell nearly as many tickets. It's about 3,000, I think, and they've capped it at that. They're like, that's all we're doing. And
they're sold out.
Yeah, and we were discussing this before the show. It's one of those conventions where they're like, we like the space we're in. We like the number of people that come. We don't need to expand. We don't need to go anywhere else. Get your tickets early, and then you can come. Yeah. And that's what we did. Like, my girlfriend Bree and I made sure we knew what day they were going on sale. We hopped on Eventbrite and purchased our badges right away. So what kind of guests do they have? It varies every year because this year is a little lighter on the doctors. They've got Paul McGann coming in, who's the eighth doctor. I'm making noise with my chair.
Yes, yeah, they're new chairs.
Get your Sonic to fix it, man.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
There we go.
But I think Paul McGann is the only doctor that they have this year. Last year they had a handful of them, including John Hurt, who I did a picture of with, which was really really awesome to get that because, you know, if you've ever done a picture op at a con, it's a 15-second experience. Yeah. But you try to pack in as much, like, just you know, like cordial intimacy mm-hmm. that you can into those
everything
15.
You ever wanted to say to them
yeah. exactly
really quickly without
and
breathing.
So you know
next
all conveyed in a single expression
exactly. So before I went up to take my picture with John Hurt, I had been thinking about what I was going to say, and I thought about, you know, I really loved watching Jim Henson's The Storyteller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, that was pretty loud. But yes.
And so yes. I walked up, I put my arm around him, he put his arm around me, he was smiling, he was like, they're like, smile, you know, a couple pictures, and then I turned to him, and as I was getting ready to step away, I said, sir, you have always been my favorite storyteller. And he went, yeah. Like, he was just like, yes, that's nice. Oh, I get it. Like, you could hear it and see it in his eyes.
Nice.
That's
great.
And so that was a lot of fun for me. But they
so
had
you got 18 seconds. So.
Yeah, exactly. I had those extra three. That
yeah.
was nice.
So worth it.
You're holding up the line.
Exactly.
And for those who don't know, why was it special for you to get a picture with him this year?
because aside from the fact that he passed away
yes.
not long ago. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So he passed away recently.
Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer, which is actually the same thing that I lost my father to many years ago. And so that's definitely a cause that's near to my heart. And so it's very sad, but, you know, he gave us so many great characters. And,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Ollivander and all that.
So do you participate? I see that they have Friday night karaoke as a big part of Gallifrey.
The karaoke at Gallifrey is nuts. And the thing is, I'm probably not going to be able to participate in karaoke tomorrow night because I think I have to be there tonight in order to sign up to even get on stage tomorrow night.
Wow.
So I'm foregoing that. And the other thing is, this is only my second Gallifrey one. I'm still relatively a noob as far as Doctor Who goes. The story goes that a couple years ago, when my girlfriend and I were first starting to date, we went to Disneyland. And we went to California Adventure, and I lost a bet to her on Midway Mania, Toy Story Midway Mania, mm-hmm. and she beat me. And so I had to watch the first two seasons of Doctor Who.
As a punishment, huh?
For losing the bet. The first two seasons of the reboot era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when I was introduced mm-hmm. to my doctor, Christopher Eccleston, who I just love what he did with the character. I had no previous knowledge of the character, but I loved what he did with the character. And then moved on to David Tennant, who I really do like all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Gallifrey 1. So the karaoke goes nuts. It goes late into the night. This is one convention that, because it is all housed in one hotel, the lobby con is strong.
Yeah.
And that is, like, you could just show up off the street and party with lobby con, and the, you know, people are just drinking.
Lobby con. Haven't heard that before.
Lobby con.
Yep.
It should be all one word, spelled with an I.
There you go.
Just don't use a hyphen.
No hyphen.
Exactly.
Right, because then you get sued.
Yep.
Yeah.
L-O-B-I or L-O-B-B-I? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that's a huge aspect of this convention as well, is that you get this small amount, relatively, you know, by comparison, small amount of people. They go to the con all day. They celebrate Doctor Who, this very specific, you know, not niche necessarily, but a very specific fandom. And then they all get out of the con whenever it closes. And then there's evening events. There's a sketch show called The Idiot's Lantern.
My friends do that.
And which I'm actually in. I just came from rehearsal.
Oh, so you saw Bob and everybody.
I saw Bob and everybody, yeah. I'm only in one sketch because this is my first year, and they were like, hey, do you want to come do one sketch? I was like, yeah, let's do it.
It's your audition. Don't screw it up.
It was, yeah. I'm in one sketch, and that's going to be tomorrow night. It's about, a 90-minute or two-hour show.
That's cool.
But it's fun, and it's just sketches of people who love Doctor Who making fun of Doctor Who.
And then you guys have the Masquerade of Mandragora?
I guess so. I was talking to other people because I saw that on the sheet. I was talking to other people. I was like, is this what the Masquerade's called? And they're like, we always just call it the Masquerade. I didn't know that's what it's called. But the fun thing about the Masquerade at Gallifrey 1 is they're not secretive about all the costumes and everything before they go in. So you can wear your costume for the Masquerade at the con the day before or the day of.
That's crazy talk.
You can walk around. You can talk.
That is crazy talk.
You can gain a following so that you can have, you know, people cheering for you and
stuff.
Yeah.
Campaigns.
I like
exactly.
that.
You can campaign.
How'd you get tickets for this?
They, if you follow them on Facebook and go on the website, they advertise when their tickets go on sale. They sold them through Eventbrite this year and I think last year. So then basically you just have to log on the day they go on sale at 9 a.m. or whatever time they go on sale and and try to get in and get them because they'll sell out.
And pray to the Time Lords.
And easy since you're on there right at 9?
Yeah, it was pretty. My girlfriend and I were both sitting in her living room and we both were on our laptops spinning. And it was, yeah, just the spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel of death.
Yeah.
The lollipop of death.
We both got badges pretty easily without hassle. I think they've worked the system because a couple of years ago, Bree was telling me that like the system crashed and they had to send an email in certain time and blah, blah, blah. So, you know.
Well, listen. Thank you very much for talk to us about that. I want to see some pictures. Take a lot of good pictures.
I'll take pictures.
Yeah, and I would love to see that sketch.
And Bree and I have a very special mashup cosplay on Saturday, so I'll take pictures.
Mm.
Still a secret, but we'll take pictures.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll bring them in.
One more question.
Go for it.
So you made a bet at Disneyland.
Yes.
What was your end if...
And that's
you
the thing.
Won the bet?
I don't even remember.
Oh!
It was one of those situations where... It was like she really wanted me to watch Doctor Who, and she's like, okay, if I beat you on Midway Mania, you have to watch Doctor Who. And I was like, okay, if I beat you, I'm going to come up with something, but it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I don't think I even officially came up with something, but...
Land of the Lost, the 90s version?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the horror.
That's a terrible version.
I actually had figurines and all that stuff. Christ. I was the
was
right age for that.
Yeah,
the 90s
was ridiculous,
too.
Though.
Yeah, the 90s version. I kind of grew up on the 90s version because it hit right when we were in that age.
Yeah. I didn't know there was another one until
Classic Hard Bus.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's better than Classic by any stretch of the imagination.
And we won't talk about that Will Ferrell abomination.
So let's go ahead and jump into... we got a little bit of news this week. We won't spend a lot of time here because I do want to jump into... Long Beach and Emerald City, and I do want to talk about Richard Hatch, and I know that Tom has some cool memories of Richard Hatch that he's going to share with us. So WonderCon, if you guys are a professional at WonderCon, badge registration opened up this week, so make sure you get those because that will probably be gone fairly soon.
I got my pro badges.
I got mine as well. I messed up a little bit and forgot to get somebody's name in there as a guest. So hopefully, I know. Hopefully, we'll be able to correct that. San Diego Comic-Con, Masquerade Rules and Entry Form are now available online. So if you're planning to participate, are you doing the Masquerade?
I will not be, no. Okay. I know some people that are
doing
that.
That takes quite a bit of effort. That's like an all-day, everything.
It is, because the one year that I did the Comic-Con, the San Diego Masquerade, it ate up a good amount of time where I was like, I could be on the floor right now.
Right, it's like going to
I could be in line for something right
it's
now.
It's like going to the Conan show, which I would love to do when I'm at San Diego, but that's an all-day
thing. Yeah,
just go to the Conan show in L.A.
I know.
Jeez.
I know. I've never been. A rumor that we were talking about beforehand. Ben Affleck is rumored to want to drop out of the Batman movie.
I really doubt
the solo film. I don't know about Justice League.
Well, but Justice League's already filmed.
Justice League's in the can.
So he's.
It's
you...
all because Lego Batman is taking over as Batman. And all the
best.
I would be intimidated too. I mean,
yeah. I wouldn't want to follow Lego Batman.
Oh, yeah, with quakes and the
massive pecs and a 9-pack
net.
But you're saying you think it's just a rumor and you try to swat that away.
When I see it in Variety or Hollywood Reporter, I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Because
what
happens is some idiot gets on a website or a Facebook page and says something and then people pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
And there'll be no basis in fact.
Yeah, and some bogus website today, I think it was, I saw, like, tried to tweet that Mark Hamill had died and, like, Mark Hamill, like, quote tweeted it and was like, nope.
Still here.
Still living. I'm still here, guys.
It's all fake news.
Gotta get Trump off the internet. Yeah,
but he's got a contract.
Yeah.
He's got a contract. Which I'm sure is tied to other non-DC related movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Clooney deal. You do whatever we want you to do. You do Ocean's 57. We'll let you do your little prestige project.
Yep.
So I really doubt that's going to happen.
Well, speaking about the DC Cinematic Universe, what do you think about the rumored director for Suicide Squad, Mel Gibson?
I think we don't need any more Suicide Squad.
I agree with her.
And it has not been greenlit yet.
Yeah.
Gotham City Sirens has been greenlit.
Yeah.
What's Gotham City Sirens? Is that the...
That's the Harley Quinn. Batman, female Batvillain spinoff.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's been greenlit, and Ayres is directing that. But Suicide Squad has not officially been greenlit.
Yes, it made money worldwide, but look at the reviews. Come on, yeah. Stinker.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It made Batman v Superman look like
Citizen Kane. Gosh. I watched them back to back because we were like on Schmozno, we were like ranking all of the superhero films of the year, and I was like, all right, I gotta rewatch these. And I was like, man, Batman v Superman looks amazing next to Suicide Squad.
It makes me sad.
Speaking of movies that are hopefully going to be amazing, Guardians Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has tested, apparently, perfect score of 100.
Oh my god.
Not surprising.
They're calling, the people are saying it tested higher than any of the Marvel films that have come out yet.
I love the Guardians films, and this is why I think they're so successful, because as much as I enjoy the Marvel Cinematic Universe and everything being super tied together, Guardians can be enjoyed a la carte.
Yeah.
It's just a damn good movie.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, it lives in that nice world of, okay, obviously, like, this is an action film, and it's got some really good action in it, but, like, it's a comedy, and it's just fun.
It's a Western.
Yeah, it's everything you want in a movie, basically.
And the characters are really well-developed. They're not two-dimensional, dumb characters.
No, yeah, they're so compelling, and, yeah, it's just so enjoyable.
And they managed to introduce them really well.
Yes.
And still have a really good story. Yep. It's pretty wild.
I think it's cool that they're billing Nebula and Yondu as part of the...
Yes!
We used to be villains, now we're Guardians.
Oh, man.
And Mantis.
I love that.
It's going to be good. Like, do you see the trailer, the Super Bowl trailer?
Of course. Yeah.
And Baby Groot.
Baby Groot's amazing, yeah. Like, I heard that James Gunn was talking about he almost did not go with Baby Groot, but
I heard that as well.
But he was very glad that he did.
Yeah.
And now Chris Pratt is...
And so is Disney marketing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how many of those are they going to sell?
All of them.
It was really funny to me because my buddies and I went and saw John Wick 2 the other night, which if you like John Wick, you'll love John Wick 2.
I got John Wick for free at Comic-Con last year.
What?
50 Shades of John Wick.
50 Shades of John Wick.
What?
Anyway. Well, it was out at the same time, and they had advertising to compete with
nice.
Great.
Oh, nice. Great. Oh, nice. But we walked past a poster for Guardians Volume 2, and it had the picture where it looks like it's an album cover for a 90s band, and then it says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then the tagline is just, obviously... it just said it on the poster. Yeah. I was like, "This is perfect."
So
they know exactly
it's
what
so
they're
good.
Selling.
Yep. Yep. The music and the music is so spot on. Like album, the album of all the songs of the last film went straight to the top. It was one of the biggest.
Yeah.
And like, what's the song that
Hooked on a Feeling?
No, of the new one, the song that they used of the new trailer. Because the people that released that song, that one shot to the top of the charts immediately, too. And they tweeted out, we have conquered the galaxy again. And they're from 1970-something. Yeah. So I'm super stoked about
that. One's probably even going to be better than the last. They just know the characters so well.
Yeah.
And they've created, like you said, awesome characters. So it's like now that they know who they are and that it works... I think it just gave them a lot of room to play.
They're fun. They're absolutely fun. But to Emma's point, the thing is, I liked it because it wasn't part of the intertwined
market. It is, but it isn't.
But did you see the video that came out this week of starting up? Well, it came out in January, but like the Infinity production video came out.
Yeah.
And it's Chris Pratt and Robert Downey Jr. and Spider-Man all together on set. So I think it's going to be a little bit more intertwined now. And
Well, they said for Infinity Wars, they're all meeting.
Yeah. Plus, Gamora is the daughter of Thanos, so we can't help. I just can't wait to see who's going to be at which convention once they start coming out this summer. Real quick, Sci-Fi Network is launching a new cosplay show, Cosplay Melee. It's going to be hosted by Yvette Nicole Brown.
From Community.
Yeah.
She's awesome, by the way. She's so, so nice.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, you know her?
I've met her before, yeah. She's like so freaking down to earth and cool. And I'm excited to see what she brings to the table with this. I know the casting producers on this show, a lot of them also worked on Face Off. So they kept hounding me, being like, do you want to do this cosplay show? And I was like, no, not really, but I hope you get great people. it'll be interesting.
That's pretty cool. I love anytime she's on The Talking Dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's like the best
guest
that
can
get on there.
Yeah, she's great.
Every interview, she's always so friendly and so genuine.
And chipper.
Every time she comes on, it's an episode where somebody has died. So they always bring her on because
they bring on comfort.
They know that she'll cry and she will be just commiserate with you. So I always like when she's on there. Last bit of news. I was watching the Marvel AfterBuzz, or the Marvel show, not the AfterBuzz show, the Marvel show.
Marvel
Movie News.
Marvel Movie News, and they were talking about the possible Phoenix movie coming. Mm. And they said it's kind of a room. But no. It is actually happening. I know somebody on production. Mm. I know somebody in finance over there. They're actually, it's in pre-production now. So it's the Dark Phoenix movie is coming out.
Still with
Sophie Turner?
I don't know who's
or
in
Sophie.
It.
No, it's probably going to be Sophie because they basically done a soft reboot of the X-Men.
Yep. Yep.
And completely...
X-3 didn't happen.
X-3 didn't happen. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you're not excited about that because you think that... You think that Fox is just no good with their stuff. Deadpool was great.
I hate the character, so was it a great adaptation of the character? Yes. Did I like the movie? No. Because it's a great adaptation of a character I love.
But I know that you were not a big fan of the way Fox has been handling their Marvel.
No.
No.
All right.
Well, the best thing that I saw was when all those movies came out, you know, we had a movie that a lot of people liked in Civil War. And we had a movie that a lot of people didn't like in Batman v Superman. And then X-Men Apocalypse came out, and the headline the next day that I read was, X-Men Apocalypse is out, and it's fine?
It's here.
It
wasn't fine.
But by comparison.
If I hadn't got it on sale during Black Friday, I wouldn't have spent, you know, what, $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
On the Blu-ray.
I saw it in the theater, and I wish I would
have. Well, I saw it in the theater, too.
But if you put Batman, Superman, and Apocalypse next to each other, Apocalypse is fine?
Emma says that Batman v Superman's not so bad.
I went in with like bottom of the barrel expectations.
And they were exceeded.
And they were very much exceeded. For Batman v Superman, they were. For Suicide Squad, I had bottom of the barrel expectations, and I didn't know the barrel could get any lower.
I started yelling at the screen.
Oh my God, you guys, Suicide Squad is so bad. It's so bad.
The biggest problem is that, aside from everybody being out of character, they caused the problem they supposedly are trying to prevent.
Anyway.
Which, from a story point, it's like, oh my gosh, smack yourselves.
Which movie are you talking about?
Suicide Squad.
I never knew what the goal of the movie was. It was like to go...
You are not alone.
...squish this thing flying around. She looks like she's the same villain, though, that's in the new Mummy movie. So it's... It does.
That's
Tom Cruise.
Accurate.
All right, so let's... we're gonna not jump. We're gonna finish up with Richard Hatch, even though the photos are ready to go. Because let's jump into Long Beach Comic Con real quick and Emerald City.
Expo.
Long Beach Comic Expo. I even have the con on here, which starts tomorrow. And tomorrow is the Comics Creator Conference. I'll be going down to that. I don't really know a lot about it. It's for people who are interested in the comic book industry on the creative side, writing, creating, publishing. So that's all we know. That's all you know. Like even on the website, we will have a very cool keynote speaker who will talk about this and we'll do this. You're like, well, who the heck's the speaker? Who's going to be there? So we'll see.
It's going to be huge.
Well, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But the rest of the weekend, it's typical Long Beach Comic Expo stuff, and most of us here have been to it, so I don't think there's... does anyone have any advice about the Long Beach Comic Expo? Parking's pretty easy.
Oh, that's one thing I like about Long Beach.
Yeah.
Parking's easy and not ridiculously expensive.
Right, parking's easy, attending's easy.
Are they going to clear the rooms like they kind of did before, like between panels?
Oh, that's right. Probably. They did it... At Long Beach Comic Con.
Yes, they did. Yes, they do that. That was different for me, the way they cleared the room.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a smaller thing where it's easy to even get in the bigger ones there, which is kind of nice about the smaller ones is that you can kind of just day of, you can wait in line a half an hour to hour and then get into the panels you want to see.
Because
I went to like a Batman animated series, you went as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then they let us stay in for, what was the thing right after that? Con Man.
Firefly.
Yeah. And then Con Man. So that was kind of cool. They let us all stay in. They just opened the back. But it kind of differs from other conventions. It's doesn't have the giant rooms with 3,000 people and big events. And it doesn't try to have that.
It's chill.
It is chill. It focuses on the creators, which I think is very cool.
And they actually talk about comic books.
They talk about comic books. So
what?
I know. They are having an after party Saturday night, 8 p.m. until midnight at Tides at the Long Beach Hyatt. And the one thing that I do like to talk about this, and Geek Fest Film Fest, it is in its fourth year. It's a traveling film festival. They go to a lot of the Comic Cons. It goes to New York Comic Con. It goes to Long Beach. It goes to it does it go to it doesn't go to the San Diego Comic-Con International cons, but it does go to a lot of the conventions. And what it is filmmakers can get their films into this film festival, and they will travel the country at the different conventions showing your film all across the country, which is...
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Which is really cool. Yeah, I really love that. And they... The filmmakers, if you're in the area, you can host panels. You can be on like panels and discuss your film. Like they're doing a horror panel, horror makeup panel. They're doing another panel about like promoting your film. So if you have a chance to look at the web, go to our website. We've got a guide to the whole thing, and we have all the films that we'll be showing the weekend. We have them listed on there, and just go talk to these people because they are really, if you are a filmmaker, get to know them because they are always looking for good films, and they are definitely films that fit the con sensibility. So you need to be in that. It's not like, you know, nice. When Harry Met Sally or stuff like that. All right. Anything else about Long Beach? Long Beach.
There were some cool panels from what I looked at.
Oh.
I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a... Let's see. Virgin Galactic is doing a panel talking about the satellites they want to put up. And one thing that stood out to me was this Doctor Who Live panel. This is all on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Doctor Who Live is an improv show.
Yeah, which sounds so fun.
Yeah, I have a ton of friends that are involved in it. Yeah,
so
it's a
if
lot
you
of fun.
Did not get into Gallifrey 1, you can go to this instead and still get something Doctor Who related.
There you go. Mm. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Wait a second. I
saw there's a Back to the Future panel on the technology of Back to the Future. It's on Sunday. It's from 12 to 1. That looked pretty interesting. Being a big Back to the Future fan, I hope they one day have their own, you know, like Comic-Con, like a Back to the Future weekend. That'd be awesome. I know they do, like, screenings at the old mall and other things, like other get-togethers, but... You know.
Right. Save the clock tower.
No, this sucker's electrical.
And,
I need a nuclear charge.
And some of the people... Here in town, there's this group called Nerds Like Us, and they hold a lot of events. And they are, let me see, from 7 until 8:30 on Saturday, they're... They're hosting the cosplay competition, and then there's, and I don't know where it's at, but some other time during the weekend, they're holding a panel to help you figure out how to throw your own nerd events, which is kind of cool, because, like, we went to the 20th anniversary of Scream thing, the midnight showing of that.
Yeah. Well, Bree and I, we just went to the 20th anniversary of Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah?
They did this last weekend that Bernie and Nerds Like Us did this last
I
weekend.
I like those guys. They're pretty fun. If you get a chance, 10:30 on Saturday, the screening of the feature documentary Comics, Beyond the Comic Book Pages. It's all about making comic books in the industry. They interview Stan Lee and Frank Miller, Mark Waid, Mark Silvestri, a lot of people. So I am...
Who?
If you get a chance, Supernatural's Ghost Facers, they're having a reunion. Do you guys know who the Ghost Facers are from Supernatural? Basically, they're the
recurring characters. They were in a couple of episodes, but very entertaining.
Ghost Facers! At Long Beach Comic Con in the fall, they were there, and they actually were in a panel with the people who actually run real ghost adventures and stuff. And it was kind of cool. So they have some really good panels that I'm looking forward to seeing over the weekend. So looking forward to it. All right, we are going to be running out of time here real quick, so let's jump into Emerald City Comic Con. And, Tom, you've been up there
a couple of times. I went back when it was kind of a smaller indie con, and then I went last year after it was acquired by ReadPop. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with how ReadPop ran it, especially the panel programming they had. Oh, why am I blanking on her name? She played Glory on Buffy Season 5.
Oh, jeez. What is that actress's name?
Claire Kramer.
Yes.
She did a terrific job as an interviewer. I mean, she prepared. I mean, I really admire
her. I think she does some stuff for Geek Nation, I want to say. So, yeah, she's definitely like in sort of the broadcaster world now for sure.
So, I was kind of surprised that they had her do that. But, and so not too big, not too small.
It runs it's a big one. Last year they had 88,000 people.
Yeah. Because, again, you know, Pacific Northwest, there's not a lot of stuff up there for geeks.
And I know that they have Thursday and Friday tickets still available. Everything else is sold out. So
not surprising.
Yeah. It does look like on Saturday you can get the Outlander Saturday package, which is kind of almost like a VIP package. And then you can get – can someone explain this to me real quick? ReadPop, they're really big on these upsells, and I haven't done them yet. Is that
– I don't play that.
which is very different than like the San Diego Comic Con and the WonderCon.
You can't upsell the.
Yeah, because they're a nonprofit, so you're not.
They're nonprofits. Yeah.
So, did you get a chance to look at any of the panels? Like, I know that Let me see.
And they have some good special guests there.
They have a lot of, did you?
Yeah, I'm just looking at your list.
I have a list of there. Some. Alice Cooper, Evangeline Lilly, Jason Momoa, Jeremy Renner, John Bernthal. Michael Rooker is going to be there. That guy's crazy as all get. I would love to be there.
He's amazing. Isn't he? He's hilarious. Yeah, he was.
Millie Bobby Brown? Oh, I'm sorry. You finished your sentence.
Oh, no. Actually, and interestingly enough, Millie Bobby Brown was also at Salt Lake Comic Con last year and had a lovely encounter with Michael Rooker where he was staring from across the green room at the boots I was wearing. And he was like, and he was over with Phil Lamar, and I sort of know Phil, so I was like turning over and I was like, what is going on? And Phil's like, we're admiring your boots. And Michael's like, yeah, those are some great boots. I love them. Great style. And I was like, okay, nice. Michael Rooker.
I remember him from Mallrats.
Yeah.
He
was in Mallrats. He played like he was kind of one of the antagonists.
Yeah.
He was a mall security guard.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were on the red carpet during San Diego Comic-Con this year for the big Marvel panel. And I remember I had my back, and I was waiting for someone to come. Then all of a sudden, remember that? He came right up over my shoulder, and I just turned around. He was completely painted in blue, and his face is right here. And I just like ah! And it was, that's how I met Michael Rooker.
His face was in Yondu blue?
Yeah, he was painted. He was Yondu.
Yeah, he came in character.
Yeah.
That's great.
I was over taking pictures of, I think, Chris Pratt and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And I came over, and yeah, you were interviewing.
Rough life.
Peter Mayhew, life, Shannon Purser, Stan Lee, of course. Everyone keeps on saying that he's going to slow down, but
he's not doing. Supposedly, he's not going to be doing the East Coast cons anymore.
Oh, okay, so stay close over here. That makes sense. Tom Felton, Vincent, I never can get his name. D'Onofrio. From Daredevil and from one of the SBs.
Emerald City.
He was in Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Emerald City.
And many, many. The show? The TV
he's
show?
He's the Wizard.
I didn't know that.
Oh, shit.
I suffered through the pilot.
Is that show still on?
He's so good as Kingpin, though. He's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Kingpin.
He's the bomb. It's Kingpin.
But so this is next weekend. You can still go Thursday and Friday, apparently.
Two weekends.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 weekends. Oh, that's right. Time's just slipping.
February
away.
Is short, but not that short.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go to the website. They have, we are so low on time, so we're going to hurry up here. But anyways, so go to our website. We're going to have a survival guide for the Emerald City Comic Con. We'll have all this information on there for you. Before we go, though, we did want to recognize somebody who is very special in the con world, and that was Richard Hatch. Richard Hatch, who, if we can have the picture up, there he is. He played Apollo in the original Battlestar Galactica, and he was the last person at a con that I got an autograph from. And there's we'll see a picture of me. Every year that there's me,
aww.
I was so excited this year because I got to finally meet Richard Hatch. Every San Diego Comic Con, every WonderCon, he always did his annual Battlestar
thing.
It always started the con. It was always the first thing on Thursday morning. And the past couple of years, I was so upset because I was missing it because I was way out in my hotel. I just couldn't get there in time. This year, we got a hotel right downtown. And the thing that was so exciting was I was able to get there in time and see it. And I am so glad I did. And he will be missed. But you have even more stories. That was just – I'm just a super fan.
I have a few stories. I met Richard. He came to see a play directed at APU. This was the Pacific University where I teach. Return of the Forbidden Planet, rock and roll sci-fi musical. So Kevin Grazier, the science advisor, had a cameo in the play. So he brought Richard with him. They're very good friends. And so Richard was very kind, and my secretary was very, to meet him. And he gave her a hug, and he signed my Apollo action figure, my 12-inch Apollo action figure.
That's cool.
And then that fall, I started hosting Battlestar Galactica panels for DragonCon. And one of the things I loved about Richard was he always remembered me.
And there is your action figure.
Yes,
right
yes.
Now.
Cool.
Oh,
cool.
That's awesome.
He always remembered me, which was cool because some people were like, and you are.
Yeah.
But he always did. We always caught up. I was at FedCon 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and we ended up having the same return flight routing. And so it was funny because after the first flight on Lufthansa, we ended up at Heathrow. In one of the restaurants, so we started talking, and then we had the same flight to Dulles and then to L.A. And so when we got back to Dulles, I called my sister. It's like, I'm hanging out with Captain Apollo from the original Battlestar Galactica series. And it was a funny story. I got upgraded on the way back to L.A., and he didn't. So he walked right past.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
You should give up your seat to me. He's like, hey, we're not that tall. And then we had a running argument about the final season of Battlestar. He felt that the insurrection of second half of season 4 would have worked better if they'd had a little bit more time, mm-hmm. and then they'd done that in season 5.
Yeah.
And obviously, well, you get what you get, so
yeah.
it was a little compressed, but he was a good guy. He'll be missed. And I didn't realize this, but he was actually older than Eddie James Olmos.
Is he really?
Yeah. And his son, he told me, I have a son. He's like, how old's your son? It's like, 40s? It's like, how old are you? Because he looked, for somebody...
He looked amazing.
He looked amazing.
He was 71. Yeah.
He was 71. Wow. But really good guy. He'll be missed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's like 55.
Yeah, he had so much energy. And, yeah. he was the driving force for so long, keeping Battlestar alive.
Absolutely. You know? And the reason they cast him as Tom Zarek is he was so... He had an idea for an extension of the 70s series,
yep.
and when Universal proceeded with this, he was very vocal with his opposition, and then Ron Moore very wisely courted him in saying, I've got a great role for you. What's ironic, he almost played Zarek in as many episodes as he played the original Captain Apollo.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because he was in over 20 episodes as Tom Zarek in the reimagined Galactica.
Well... Richard Hatch, you will be missed. Here's to you. Mm-hmm. And let's hope we don't have to have too many more memorials this year. You know, a lot of the good guys are and gals are leaving us this year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they will have some things to remember him this year. Carrie Fisher, hopefully we'll be remembering her this year. And your guy.
John Hurt.
So many good people.
My guy.
Your guy, Lake Clay. So that is all we have this week. So as we go out, hopefully you will subscribe. You can find me at Conguy Jim, or you can find me at the Con Guy DOTCOM on Twitter.
I'm Derek Sams. You can find me at Con Guy Derek on Twitter.
I'm Thomas Parham. You can find me at Tom Dave LA, TOMDAVELA.
I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name.
I'm Ben Cleaver, at Ben Cleaver, except it's spelled BenKlieWer.
I'm Luke, known as Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke or on theconguy.com.
So tune in to The Con Guy, and as we end, what are we going to say?
So say we all!
All right.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.